Welcome to the Walk Tall Session 3 class. Today's subject is on energy management. And just a reminder, the call today is being recorded for future listening use. And do be comfortable without falling asleep, of course. And a reminder that just for ease of my viewing pleasure, because I'm monitoring a couple of different monitors. If you have questions for me, please enter them in the Q&A section of Meeting Burner. And if you guys want to talk to each other, you can use the chat. So I'm not going to monitor the chat. Reminder also that we have open office Q&A, but really call it implementation, assisted implementation time on Friday at 11 o'clock. So notes from last week. Reminder, did you highlight what you wanted to implement from your notes? Pick the top three and write them on the front subject page of the action system agenda, and then focus on the top one for the week. Just a bit of a focusing tool because there can be a lot. This is one way to get that narrowed down. Then, as far as the content goes, the super, super, muy importante. One, deciding on your to-do manager. Two, setting up your to-do manager. Three, learning and using your to-do manager. Most important thing. I want to see your project list in there, and I want to see all of your to-dos in there. And, I think I'll talk about this at the end in case we get some more people joining in. I'll talk briefly about doing a mind dump, and I'll talk about that at the end. And so the last note from last week, as far as highlighting the really important stuff, making sure that your to-dos are single next actions. If you get to something on your list and you just look at it and your brain does a minor little fritz out, it's probably because it's not an easily identifiable or doable item. So for today, energy management. Our playing field, if the action system is strategies for storing what you need to do, today the energy management is about when you do your stuff and the mindset with which you do it. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about mindset and tuning into your energy today. Our first order of business is playing with the avatar. Oh, good stuff. So after our course last week, I had two separate conversations with participants basically saying the same thing about a different use of the avatar that I want to share. And it was so cool because they had no idea that the other person had said this. And they pretty much said the same thing. It was great. So I've introduced the concept of the natural professional avatar as a kind of a role for managing your life and business, because that's what this course is about. You can play with avatars in your other roles. So I didn't want to introduce the idea of, avatars all over the place and a whole bunch of different ones, because that can start getting a little overwhelming. But let me give you two examples of how this has been used. So one, a professional artist. So as a professional artist, both in looking at how she felt, so that avatar principle of feeling, what does it feel like to be in that role? She also was looking at how people see her in that role. And so, for example, she had a couple of things on her list of things she wanted to do, projects, house numbers for her house, and putting in a new screen door. Now, obviously, that can take a ton of different manifestations. You know, you can go to your local Ace Hardware and pick up a screen door and some plastic numbers and put them on your house. But she realized, as a professional artist, this is how people see her. This is a first impression of herself, and therefore the screen door and the house numbers were actually creative projects for her. And when she saw how they all kind of tied together, she got more excited about them and had more energy in, you know, and motivation to go out and do them. Okay, so then the second example was the avatar of home CEO. So instead of being, okay, yeah, I deal with the house and the house cleaning and the cooking and the kids and all that kind of stuff, plus being a self-described, very methodical kind of person, you know, for example, if she was going to clear the counter, you know, the kitchen counter, she'd start at one end and go all the way through. But what if she had someone coming over in 15 minutes? She's been stepping back into this avatar, you know, kind of taking the step back into this greater awareness as house CEO and asking herself, what pickup right now would make the greatest impact? I have 15 minutes. How can I best spend those 15 minutes? And so she's coming at her role of managing her family's world from a bigger picture place. And again, she also used the terminology of how people see me, or, you know, how people are perceiving this role. Those are two other examples. So one of my goals for this course is, one, for you to come up with a personalized avatar. You know, use the natural professional one, and that's going to keep coming back to how you're managing your life and your business from a core perspective. But then, what is your dominant role out in the world? And what does that avatar look like and sound like and feel like for you? And what is it called? Because it can have a name. Right? It has, you know, they all have different names. You know, it can be professional artist, house CEO, it could be flowing woman, it could be garden goddess, it could be, you know, it can be anything. Anything that speaks to you. Now, your avatar engages, as I've mentioned before, your left and right hemispheres. This is merging of the brain. It informs your decisions, your priorities, and your way of being in the world. And because it is drawing on sort of an archetypal sense of you, it's tapping into your spirit. This is one of your ways that your soul and your spirit are speaking to you. And thus, it is connected to the universe, because if it's connected to your soul and your spirit, it's connected to the bigger picture. And that is really, really important. So tapping into your avatar helps you let go of low priority things, because they're not important in the bigger picture. They help you understand in what to do right now, how to plan out your day, how to make the impossible happen easily. So since it's this connection to the universe, it's also, you know, like a signal that you're willing to be part of this mutually supportive web that we're all a part of. It signals to the universe that you are ready for support, that you don't want to, you know, go it alone, and you don't have to go it alone. So it really is a key to going with the flow. And the best way back, the easiest way back, the one word to remember to come back to it is relax. Really, it's about relaxing. It's about just letting go and relaxing. So let's do a short guided relaxation to drop you into your natural professional avatar. So please get comfortable in your chair. releasing any tension, any effort that isn't necessary to be physically present, and breathe. Take the deepest breath you've taken all day long. And two more just like that, drawing deep into your belly, then letting your rib cage expand, and then exhaling fully. And at the end of the exhale, contract your stomach just a little bit to get all the air out. And one more very deep into the belly, expanding the rib cage, taking it all in, and a full and complete exhale, moving out all the air, even that contraction at the very end. Feel your body being supported by the chair underneath you. Your spine is straight without being rigid, supporting your weight. Your head balanced at the top of your spine. Minimal tension in your neck to hold it up. And taking your attention to the top of your head, your scalp, taking an inhale in to that space, and with the exhale, releasing any tension that might be there. Breathing into your forehead, and exhaling any tension. Inhaling into your cheekbones, and exhaling any tension to your jaw, your neck, your shoulders. Feel a hint of a smile playing on your mouth. And enjoy the fact that you have nothing to do except be right here. Feel your feet connected to the ground. And maybe you feel roots extending down into the earth. And with that connection, drawing up the strength of the earth and feeling that strength flow through your body. Feel the groundedness flow through your body. And let yourself enjoy a sense of confidence. The ability to handle anything that comes your way. Staying calm and on task when doing your work. Keeping the big picture in mind when you're handling your priorities. And whatever isn't solved right away, you've got the peace of mind, the resources, and the willingness to allow a solution to arise. Your timing is impeccable. You show up where you need to be, when you need to be there. You have the conversations that help move things forward with ease. You've planned out your schedule such that you feel productive and have space for spontaneity, laughter, and to see the beauty all around you. You feel on track with a greater purpose. And whether you see how everything fits together or not, you know you're in integrity with your highest self. And thus, it's all good. Breathe in this feeling. Let it soak into every cell of your body. And let your body be awash in the glow of this energy. You are home. Breathe in your avatar. Breathe in this feeling. Now let this feeling remain in your body as you bring your attention back to your physical body. How your breath gently moves your belly and your chest. Where your body meets the seat. Feeling the air on your skin. And one more deep breath, really deep into your belly and expanding your rib cage in all directions. And exhaling, blink your eyes open with that hint of a smile teasing your mouth. And you are ready to continue on remembering to let it be easy. So perfect transition then into our mind tools. The three we're going to play with today are support versus drain, plan then do, and listen to your body. And in their own way, they are clearly all connected to each other. Through experiencing your avatar, you're learning to better listen to your body. And as you listen to the body, one of the sensitivities I'm going to encourage you to pick up on, and this one is really important, this is the support versus drain. Everything in your life, every commitment, thought, relationship, situation, thing, every pen, every pencil, every chair in your house, supports you in who you want to be, or takes away from who you want to be. Sometimes this is a very strong, obvious feeling. And sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it has to do with emotions. So let's check in a little bit and see what this feels like. So again, maybe you close your eyes. I'm going to walk you through a few emotions. And just feel. Don't hold on to them. Let them just pass through and just experience what they feel like. Stay in your place of avatar as this moves through you. So, what does satisfaction feel like? Where do you feel it in your body? Is it a glow? Is it, you know, if it was something physical, what might it look like? And letting that feeling just flow, what does disappointment feel like? You might even feel physical shift. Maybe you hunch over a little bit more. Just feel what happens. Don't hold on, just let it flow through and just see what it feels like. What does frustration feel like? Where do you feel it? If it were physical, what might it look like? And the last ugly one, what does guilt feel like? Where do you feel it? How does it affect your body? How does it affect your energy? Don't hold on to it, just keep letting it flow. Now, what does joy feel like? You're fluid and in a place of power. You can let those other negative emotions flow right through and experience joy. Where do you feel joy in your body? How does it affect your stature? How does it affect your energy? And finally, what does completion feel like? And you may need to remember something where you finally finished something that you'd been wanting to complete. Can you feel what that felt like? Where did you feel that in your body? Each of these are important to understand. And we're going to draw on them both for the rest of this course, but you're also going to start noticing them more in your life. They're your sort of litmus test for moving towards something or staying away. And they are, oh my goodness, the importance of this cannot be overstated. This is your bigger self. This is your biggest self. This is your highest self speaking to you. Your body is the intersection of your spirit and your mind. The more you listen to that and honor what your body is telling you, and therefore what your soul is telling you, the more smoothly everything is going to flow, the more joy you're going to bring into your life. I love that stuff. Okay, so there's the support versus drain. Feeling, so that combination of listening to your body, the different nuances, but then narrowing that down even more to what is giving me energy, what is taking away energy. So much information in that. And then finally, the third mind tool we're going to play with today is plan, then do. This will make more sense when we get to the time containers, which is right around the corner. But plan, then do is about kind of like separation of church and state, right? We don't mix them. They don't play nicely together. This is why multitasking doesn't work so well, because the brain is jumping back and forth between different mindsets. You know what? Let's stop there. I'll talk about it more in time containers, okay? Energy management. The point of this, because, you know, we used to call it time management, but you can't manage time. You can manage your energy, though. And we do this for your success, your well-being, and your presence in your life. Setting goals that support who you want to be in this world and realizing these goals in a soul-affirming way is through how you pay attention to and listen to your energy. Because you have a limited amount every day, and it's not all created equal, right? The more tired you are, the harder it is to make decisions and to do your thinking work, both of which make work harder and then promote stress. And when you're tired, willpower and self-control are harder to exercise, which result in feelings of guilt because we did things we knew we shouldn't have done. And more work then is required to undo the results of the poor decisions. So when you're tired or stressed, it's basically harder, if not impossible, to process what you are experiencing. And this keeps you in cyclical loops of arrested development, which, you know, those just hurt after a while. You know, we're meant to keep growing. So my goal for you is to be the person you want to be. And you are a uniquely fabulous and awesome woman. And your best contribution to the world is through shining brilliantly, being you, letting the very authenticity of your presence inspire everyone in your sphere. And it is being in this place that allows you to have the most meaningful relationships and how you get the most joy from whatever you are doing, and that helps you make the wisest choices for your life. I mean, there is just, at this point in what we have available to us, there is just no need to be carrying around the weight of clutter and disorganization. And really, the most awful thing about it is that it does nothing but steal your energy and dull your light. That is what disorganization and clutter does. It dulls your light. So you use the mind tools and you let your systems do the work. Okay, today is not a good day to multitask during the class. Let yourself sit, listen, absorb, enjoy, and I promise we will be done on time. So there are 5 main subjects to energy management. So if you printed out your 5 handouts, the first one is our subject page, our agenda. And the first one are your time containers. So your time containers define a chunk of time in which there are rules, just like a physical container defines a space and ought to be governed by rules. This is the box for, or this is the drawer for silverware. This is the box for software. This is the container for pens. A time example is this workshop. The definition of this time container is from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. And the rules are no email, taking phone calls, social visits by friends, client work, or showering during the class. You know, pretty obvious, right? So some of the rules are kind of silly, but notice how the clarity of the container allows for spaciousness and peace of mind. Because you aren't trying to figure out what you should be doing. Your brain isn't jumping around trying to track several trains of thought. So really, they are a form of context tags. Remember, we talked about context tags last week. A certain place that you need to be in order to do something, or a certain equipment that you need to have in order to do something. So these sort of like context tags, and that they're reserved for a certain place in your day, rather than needing to be somewhere like across town. They have to do with your state of mind, which you could say is a place, right? So here are some of the other reasons that's useful to think in terms of time containers. 1, different mental processes don't mix well together. Plan, then do. Planning is an expansive, big picture mindset. Doing is a contracted, focused mindset. Jumping between them stresses the brain out and requires a lot of energy. This is why distractions are detrimental. Once you get in a mindset, So there's literally like operating instructions in your head for each activity that you do, right? And so when you say, I am going to work on this report, Your head kind of calls down the set of operating instructions. Here's how I do this. When you get distracted, you come back to the first thing and you have to go through the operating instructions again. So you have to get reacquainted with where you were. This is why they don't mix well. Time containers, time containers decrease opportunities for wandering off into distractions. So, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, I'll just check email real quickly, you know, which is procrastinate or not being present. And 20 minutes later, you're surfing a fascinating blog about the therapeutic qualities of underwater basket weaving. Setting rules for yourself makes it easy to say, no, I'm not going there. 3, specifying activities creates variety in your workday. This is really important if you work at your computer for most of the day. We need to break things up. If everything is just like kind of one long mushy workday, it's dull, it gets stagnant. But if you break it up, this is when I work on, you know, the really important project stuff, and this is when I'm doing email, and this is when this is happening. It gives you some variety there. It also gives you rules and boundaries that are easy to communicate with other people. So when someone asks, hey, can I ask you a quick question? And normally you might respond, oh, I'm working. But the problem is you're always working and there's no clear access to you. So either you interrupt your flow, which isn't good, or you leave the other person in limbo, which isn't good. So alternatively, you can say, I'll be done with this high priority project sprint in 15 minutes. I'll be able to talk then. Cool, thanks, I get it. Better yet, if you have a home office, you can make a little sign on your door that says open office at 11 a.m. Maybe it's a whiteboard that says I'm busy until this time. Give yourself a boundary and you are reinforcing that boundary with other people. So then going to the handout number 2 that's labeled time containers. I'm going to go over some typical time containers and you'll figure out which ones you want to work with. So the worksheet, so we've got mindset, and the mindset is the time container. Okay, so you'll put a name, you'll call it something like, say, focus time or doing time, and we'll talk about those in a sec. Ideal time, this is an optional one, but about how much time do you want to dedicate to this per day? And then the third part, rules, complementary activities. These are different types of activities that are acceptable during this time frame. Okay, so one time container, one mindset, as I've mentioned, is focus mode. Maybe this is planning mode for you. This is where you can kind of like touch in, just kind of like get a sense of different personas, different avatars for these. So in focus mode, you're the consummate authority and expert on your subject. This is where you dive into your skill set and your experience, where you kind of dig deep and pull out what you know and share it with the world. Okay, and so maybe it's through writing, maybe it's through planning, maybe it's through whatever it is. It's focus mode. This is the time that you don't want to be disturbed. Because every time you come out of it, you gotta like get back into it. Focus mode, since it is so different from how most of us spend our life, takes anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes just to sink into it. Which means that if you're going to have a focus mode time container in your day, 20 minutes doesn't make sense because it can take you 20 minutes just to get into it. So focus mode kind of needs at least an hour, typically, and maybe more. This is where you know yourself, you know what your needs are, okay? So there is one possibility. Related to that, would be creative mode, like a creative mindset. If you're an artist, this might mean actually creating. You know, I don't call myself an artist, and I have creative time every day. And this is where I just let my head go crazy. This is where I come up with my ideas for my business, ideas for writing, ideas for the course, and maybe kind of like jot down different aspects that I can already, you know would be a cool thing to include. This is where I might do drawings, like our little time container drawings. This is my creative time. So again, like focus mode, it takes time to drop into. It takes time to release the shallow spinning mindset, to drop into it. So there are definitely rules for what is not allowed. For me, this means I turn my phone off, I shut down my email program, and if I'm feeling particularly hyper and having a hard time dropping in, I'll close down the web browser. You know, I mean, I'll literally just make myself go offline, and I'll close every program that I'm not using. And I have a method that I use, which is basically through journaling, to drop into it. So not only do I have a time container protecting my time where other activities are not allowed, I also have an activity for helping me get in the groove of it as quickly as possible so that I can make the most of the time that I do have. Because that is luscious time for me. I do not want to be screwing around, like wasting that on sneaking into email and stuff like that, because I'm having a hard time dropping in. Because if you do sneak off, you're taking away from the intention of dropping in. So you're sabotaging your own focus time there, right? Okay, so let's look at another one. Self-care, me time. So this is an inward mindset. So types of activities, for example, for me that are allowed in here are yoga, meditation, journaling, sitting quietly doing nothing, contemplative reading, sitting outside in a quiet place. Somewhere where I'm not letting anybody ask anything from me, and I'm not taking care of anybody else. I'm not taking care of outside responsibilities. This is me time, okay? And that, you bet that's a protected time. Moms are the ones that have the hardest time with this one. So even if it's 15 minutes, and even if that 15 minutes is you get up 15 minutes early to give yourself this time, highly, highly recommended. Okay, so those, in my book, these are the three most important containers. And maybe it's really two. Maybe it's, you know, the me time and creative time, or me time and focus time. Depends on how you look at your work. So now let's look at some of the other ones that are more outwardly oriented. Executive decision-making mode. This is your CEO avatar. This is where you make those big picture decisions involving your family, your business, committees that you're engaged in. Okay, so this is still important work that you'll want to limit your distractions to. And it's not as, you know, kind of deep inwardly focused. It's much more touched into other parts of the world. So the easiest way to get there is through feeling it. So kind of like imagine a CEO making important decisions, keeping these different things in mind, right? Like what are the consequences? What are the pros and the cons? And that type of thing. Then there's the get stuff done mode. This is like the avatar is like the consummate executive assistant. You know, I mean, she's just like cruising around. She's just got stuff dialed in. She's always one step, two steps, three steps ahead of the game. She knows what's up. She's got a phone to her ear. She's just zing, 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 right? Like it's high energy and she's all over the place. Just boom, 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 boom. Never gets stressed out. She's just everywhere at one time. making stuff happen, kind of like a producer. Maybe this is the producer avatar for you. But it's the boom, boom, boom. You don't want to be in this space all day long, but for an hour, when you've got a to-do list to take from 10 to 0 in 30 minutes, you know she's on it. Okay, social mindset, right? This is like, think of someone that you perceive as really social. And that can be a model for your avatar. This is like the butterfly, the networker, right? You're not trying to get stuff done. Like, you're in connect with people and help people feel good about themselves and connect them with other people and, you know, find out what's going on and stay up with people. And that can be in, you know, business or personal. It can be in a lot of different ways. But it is a certain mindset. Right? You don't mix mindset, your social mindset, with your focus mode mindset. They're not compatible. Okay, and then one other that I'm going to just throw in there. It's kind of a mindset. Yeah, well, it's the, like, the home CEO, the kid-friendly mindset. And this is like, this is when, you know, like what we consider to be multitasking, you know, when you like picture the mom who's like making dinner, she's helping with homework, she's answering the phone, and she's like texting all at the same time. It's like, holy schmoly. There are some activities that are okay in that mindset. And again, you don't want to be there all the time. You would never get your important deep work done. And when you've got the kids around and you're dealing with stuff, there are certain activities that you can do. So if this hasn't already popped into your head, this is going to affect how you set up your day, how you tag items in your to-do manager, right? So you can tag items, actually tag them with your context tags, kid-friendly. And then when you end up, you know, your babysitter bags out when you were going to be doing, you know, a bunch of focus time, and all of a sudden you've got 2 extra hours, you can pull up all of your kid-friendly stuff and say, hey guys, guess what? We're going to do this, this, or who wants to help me do this, and who wants to help me do that? And it takes the stress out of feeling like you want to be in one mindset, like the focus one, but really you're in the kid-friendly one. And so how do you reconcile that? You don't. You just don't. You separate them. Now, a lot of this stuff you probably already do automatically, intuitively, or have kind of figured it out yourself. So take it to the next step. So back on the workshop, the handout, the time containers handout. Identify, if you haven't already, at least 2, 3, or 4, and do more on the back if you want, time containers that are relevant for you. The names can either be descriptive of the type of mindset that you're in, creative, focused, decision-making, doing, social, or they can be the name of the avatar if that makes it easier for you. This is my executive assistant time. This is my CEO time. This is my artistic time. So write down a few and jot down notes in the rules. What's allowed during this time? And just as importantly, what's not allowed? I'm going to give you a minute to just sink in and do that now. So take a full minute to do that. So as far as the rules and complementary activities go, so I'm going to list a bunch, and if any of them need to go onto your list here for clarification, please do. Project work, client work, client appointments, paying bills, communications, email, on the email one, that one goes in your CEO executive decision making mode one. Okay. that one's not optional. Yeah, email is not a tasky one, it's a CEO mode. We'll talk about that more in the email module. Social media. Where is social media allowed? Reading. What does reading represent for you? And which time container does it go in? House cleaning, laundry, yard work. Okay, then on the next page, we're talking brain juice. So whichever time containers you put down, I want you to just to jot down quickly on a scale of high to low brain juice that's needed. Right? So like focus mode typically is high brain juice. And so just write down in order, you know, like kind of fit them in with each other, which requires the most and which requires the least for you. And obviously this is going to be affected by whether you're an introvert or whether you're an extrovert. So it's different for everybody. And once you have that down, I would like you to think about the times of day. So in the lower right-hand corner of your handout, it says high brain juice, medium brain juice, and low brain juice. What time period or periods of the day do you have your highest brain juice? For me, it's 8 to 11 a.m. So it might be easiest to go, what's your highest, and then what's your lowest, and then that will kind of define what your medium is. But go ahead and fill that out. And then, moving that to your time map. So that's the next worksheet. Draw a straight line. So I'm going to show you an example. So draw a straight line. Here is my example one. So understanding that my high brain juice is in the morning, that's where I put my creative focus mode because that requires the most brain juice. My medium brain juice time is in the afternoon. Therefore, the activities, still work related, but less brain juice related, go in the afternoon. That's my get stuff done time. I'm tired in the evening, and that, for me, is when I enjoy kicking back and sharing food and wine with people. So that is what works for me. So you'll notice that I have zapping email, which, again, is a CEO mindset. It takes brain juice. Yet, it is second, not first. It comes priority-wise after creative focus mode. Creative focus mode is the most important thing in my day. Well, no, I take that back. My morning routine is the most important thing in my day. But they're, so yeah, so basically they're in level of priority, right? So my morning routine comes very first, 7 a.m., 6:30, whenever I get up. That is what keeps me sane and emotionally stable and able to do my work. That comes first. Then the second priority, creative focus mode, starting to put that stuff into practice. And then email. I still need a lot of energy to zap email. And I know we haven't talked about zapping, but call it doing email. So go ahead and place your time containers on the map, keeping in mind brain juice requirements. And please, please, please let me know if you have any questions on this. And if you want to color code yours, I highly recommend it. Coloring is good. So this may be some, obviously, okay, so let's talk time out for a sec. Obviously, this is not a law, and it's a guide, and there's a lot of stuff coming into your life that you can't control where it goes. This is for the part of your schedule that you have control over. It may also encourage some kind of reconfiguring of your day to see your time containers matched up with your brain juice, matched up with your, with, you know, the a typical scheduled day. So, you know, I realize that, you know, so basically use it as a guide. So say, for example, exercise. Exercise is really, really important. And for me, it's not more important than my creative focus mode time or staying caught up on most days dealing with email, which means that exercise is a great end of day activity for me, right? Because it doesn't require much brain juice. I want to do it, but it comes later in the day. Now, if my favorite yoga teacher only teaches in the morning, I'm going to go and I'm going to make that, you know, I'm going to kind of like co-opt my morning routine and put yoga there instead. But if I have the choice between a morning class and an afternoon class, I'm going to take the afternoon class. Okay? So use it as a guide. And once you become even more attuned to your energy and feeling the drains and supports of your day and feeling your energy reserve, you're going to start doing and scheduling like this automatically. So, what is one change that you can implement immediately based on looking at your schedule in this way? And then we will move on to the next part. Oh, so Clea asks, what if I don't know when my best brain juice time is? Well, you can ask questions like, when do I have the most energy for dealing with stuff, taking care of situations that come up? When do I like doing work? When do I like doing more brain intensive work the best? So that would probably be the next thing. If you don't know when your highest brain juice time is, when Like, what part of the day do you most enjoy doing more brain intensive work? So then, you have a schedule, and your daily flow, the next item on our agenda, is about staying with your schedule while staying grounded and present and in energy preservation mode, energy conservation mode. So for your note-taking ease, we are going to cover the three biggies. Transitions is the first one. So do you have a hard time switching gears between activities? Some of us have a tougher time with this than others, and it can depend on what activity we're trying to move out of. But I mean, there's a lot of energetic stuff around this, so we're going to skip all that. And suffice to say that the deeper you are in an activity, the tougher it is to transition out of it, right? For all that stuff that we've already been talking about mindset and getting into you just work on patterns, right? Your brain is just working on patterns. That's what it does. That's its job. And so when it's in a certain patterning mode, it actually takes effort to get out of that. So what you can do is work with your brain. Think of it like this. When you get deep into an activity, all systems are go. It's like you're in a car that's going really, really fast. You can't just jump out of the car on command. You have to, one, decide that you want to get out of the car. Two, start braking until you come to a stop. And then three, turn off the engine and get out. So, how can you use that? You can set a timer for 10 to 15 minutes before the end of a session so that you can wrap up, wind down, and disengage. You're letting your brain know it's time to close up this pattern because we're moving into a new one. And you can literally think of it like that. You can literally talk to yourself like that. Now, if you have a habit of blowing by the timer, what that means is that you need a stronger pattern disruptor, right? We're just talking about disrupting patterns. That's all this is. Get a louder alarm. Put it across the room. Then, when it goes off, it forces you to get up and to move. Physical movement is a great pattern disruptor, a great mental disruptor. So physical movement. And you can even train yourself to react when that obnoxious alarm goes off. Get up and say out loud, and I mean loudly, time to transition, power down this activity. Like literally say this out loud to yourself. It is time to transition out of creative time and get ready to go to X appointment. Or it's time to power down focus mode and move into zapping your email. Like literally say that out loud. Get up and then do some kind of silly transition dance that you make up. The goofier the better. Make yourself laugh. Now, sometimes the issue with transitions isn't about you're not disengaging with a previous activity. Maybe it's just not leaving enough time in between appointments if you have a very appointment-heavy schedule. So let your schedule, your calendar, help you by creating buffer times around certain appointments. Literally enter a second appointment representing travel time can help you in planning out your day better. Or if you know that you always leave a certain appointment brain fried and exhausted, give yourself an hour of recovery buffer after the appointment. And again, put it on your schedule. This reminds you to not schedule something else right away, right after that appointment. And it also reminds you to not jump right back into work mode, which would leave you feeling frustrated. Then, the head is just so impulsive. You know, it says, I have to keep going. I have more things on my to-do list today. I have to keep going. But if you're in that hour buffer recovery time, you've already pointed out for yourself, you've already identified that that is not a good time for you to jump into executive assistant mode. That is chill time. Because the need for recovery time is very real. And if you start putting that in your schedule, I can guarantee that when you're working, you're going to work better. And when you're taking the time off, your body is so going to appreciate it. So before we move on to the next daily flow, which of the transition tips are you going to implement? Maybe just pick one. If transitioning is not a significant issue for you, then maybe you don't need one. But if it is an issue, what is one thing, one of these that you will do? Okay, number next, distractions. Haha. This is, you know, time management, you automatically go to distractions, but you know what? All that other stuff is more important that we already talked about. Ha. All right, so first thing to acknowledge, do you get distracted? Do you have a hard time monotasking? Some of the biggest, you know, the most prevalent distractors are, one, letting other people command your attention. Honor your focus time and creative time and self time by letting them know when you'll be available and not until then. This is about boundary setting. This includes cutting off your digital access points, i.e. phone, email, text. Airplane mode on your phone is the greatest feature on it. Use it. Shut down your email program. Turn off email alerts. You do not need to know that emails are coming in while you're doing your important focus work. Usually, more prevalently, is letting your own attention wander. This is most of our issues with distractions. So make sure that you are clear on the purpose of the session. That's another thing that the time container does. When you sit down, you say, okay, I'm in a focus time container. What is the purpose of this session? If you cannot definitively answer, here's what I'm doing, or here's what I need to accomplish, then you're going to muddle. And if the brain doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing, it's going to wander. Like, it makes sense. Like, your brain is literal. Confirm that what you are doing is a clear, single, next action. So get clear, then proceed. Plan, then do. Plan out what you're going to do, and then do it. Don't do them at the same time. The brain is not meant to do both of those at the same time. Use a timer and keep the time session as short as possible while still being effective. So remember, pointed out that focus time requires an hour. Typically, I mean, whatever works for you. Typically an hour, because it takes me 15, 20 minutes just to sink into the thing. So even 40 minutes for me is too short, because I'm still getting revved up at 40 minutes and I'm getting into it. And then my timer goes off and I'm like, let's plan accordingly. Zapping email, doing email, is a very brain-intensive decision-making activity, which means you want to do it in short sprints. So use a timer so that you can let yourself go in that time container and not be checking the clock. And it sets the boundary for yourself. I will not check Facebook until my 10 minutes are up. I will not go do this until this time is up. So make it as short as you need to, but to still be an effective session based on the time container. Okay, then what potential distractions can you minimize? If Facebook is your bugaboo, shut the window. If email is your bugaboo, shut the program. Like, know what your distractions are and just remove them. You know, like the more you have to exercise willpower and self-control, the more energy that you're taking on making those decisions. Okay, how else can you keep your attention from wandering? You can make a game out of the session. How many emails can you zap in 10 minutes? So pay attention to your patterns. See if you need to allow for longer times for some activities, less for others. Do some activities follow others more smoothly? You know, so it's less of a jump. Tune in to what is messing with your attention. Hone in on it. Remove it. Okay, the third point on the daily flow is negative self-talk. This includes guilt, the should gremlin, comparing yourself to other people, and, you know, poor me victim attitudes. It really, really drains your energy. And this is all about conserving your energy to apply to what you want to get done, so that when you're not working, because you don't need to be working all day long, you can be present and have energy to enjoy what you're doing and who you're with. So, should, whenever you hear yourself say, oh, I should, and that's where I want you to feel that drain, that support versus drain, right? When you hear yourself saying something that drops your energy, that causes you to slouch a little bit, that makes you feel a little bit bad, stop. One idea is to create a replacement sentence. As soon as you feel yourself starting to go in that direction, and again, these are brain patterns. The more you do it, the faster you drop. The more you do it, the easier it is to drop. But you can use that to your benefit. Pattern, mental pattern disruptor. Disrupt the pattern, start creating a new pattern. And the more you do that, the easier it'll be to go in that direction. So create a replacement sentence like, I've done the best I can given what I'm working with. I've done the best I can given the situation. You can say, okay, no need to go there. Like literally talk to yourself, I don't need to go there. And a really powerful one, and I strongly encourage you to play with this one. When you start to go down, that's usually your, you know, it's your small self talking. Oh, I can't believe you didn't do this again. Oh, I can't believe you forgot that again. Oh, blah, 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 blah. All that terrible stuff. That's your critic, your inner critic. So who else should be in the driver's seat? Because it sure as hell should not be your inner critic. That will drive you nuts. Your avatar should be in your driver's seat. Your higher self should be in the driver's seat. So if you feel yourself starting to go down, I can't believe I, say, uh-uh. Who is in the driver's seat? That is powerful because it pulls you back into your place of your higher self. Oh, I love that one. Okay, and so that brings us to self-care. And I'm going to talk more about keeping your highest self in the driver's seat. Ah, so take a breath. Okay, now this one, I'm going to suggest that you just close your eyes and take this in. I'm just going to talk for a little bit, and really you can just listen. I'll let you know when you should pick up the pen again. I want to talk about breathing, because you've certainly been advised to breathe when the going gets rough. Do you know the why behind this advice? When you're feeling riled up, relaxing is one of the last things you want to think about. I get that. Breathing seems ridiculous. It seems not helpful. You're like, there's no way I can talk myself out of this through breathing. Strong emotions are a function of your brain freaking out. Obviously, everything I'm talking about, this is all about working with your brain. So when your brain freaks out, this is your limbic system kicking in fight or flight mode. It injects large amounts of hormones into your system. It's a physiological response. That's why a little bit of breathing seems to do nothing. The hormones don't just disappear. They have to work their way out of your body. And did you know that the breath itself is just one part of the actual benefit of this advice? So I want to share with you what else is going on. So there's four main points here. One is that in breathing more deeply, by pulling your attention to your breath, you breathe more deeply and you're bringing in more oxygen, and there is actual physiological benefit from drawing a deeper breath. Two, it arrests your attention. Your attention cannot simultaneously be running rampant and be tethered to your breath at the same time. You literally cannot have two thoughts at the same time, which is why multitasking doesn't work. So Kelly McGonigal, who is a brain and willpower researcher at Stanford, suggests the trick of slowing your breath down to 4 to 6 breaths per minute. She says this is a great trick for willpower as well when you're staring down your third brownie or having too much dessert. Arrest your attention. Give it something else to think about. Your breath, 4 to 6 per minute. The third idea here is that the very act of deciding to place your attention on your breath disrupts unconscious patterning that has habitually been putting you in the stress response. Your body is just doing what it always does in a situation like this. In order to make a decision, you have to be aware that you can make a decision. This is really powerful because it activates your prefrontal cortex, and the pattern that creates the stress response is disrupted. Your prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain that has self-awareness, that allows you to look at the big picture, that allows you to think, I have a goal, and that is why I'm going to resist this particular urge right in front of me. So the very act of deciding kicks you to your prefrontal cortex. And the fourth idea here is that the act of relaxing soothes your sympathetic immune system. It gives you the opportunity to flush out the hormones, which allows your brain to redirect energy from fight or flight and back to planning. When your body is in fight or flight, it literally cannot go into planning mode. So those are the four fundamental understandings of why breathing and how you can breathe 4 to 6 breaths per minute is really important. There's I found a great article by he was quoted, a Harvard-trained sports psychologist, and he pointed out that the enlightened mind does not extinguish the pain and the anxiety, but it enables you to deal with it effectively. He explains the process with three words: anticipation, acceptance, and attention. He says, anticipate that things can be difficult. Accept that when it happens, it's happening, and then don't feed them. And the way you do that is through your attention. For so many reasons, and following so much research, it turns out that your willpower and your self-control and your staying in a good place are all pretty much contingent on one thing, and that is your well-being, being rested and nourished. So, coming back to the handout, picking up your pen again, being well-nourished, rested, exercised, and relaxed is so much more important than we like to give credit for. What it means is that you can be of service to your family, your clients, your community, and yourself. Those are all contingent to you being in good health and taking care of your well-being. When you're poorly nourished, sleep-deprived, and body stagnant, your brain is the first to go. It's the first organ to go. So obviously, you're still functioning at some level, but you're not at full capacity. And you know what the first thing is to go when your body starts funneling essential resources to keep you going? Your prefrontal cortex. That's that part of you that can make decisions based on the bigger picture, on your goals. It keeps you aware of the big context. When you don't have enough energy to power that, your body goes into sustain mode. And that keeps you in decisions right here, right now. Got that? The context of the natural professional managing and flowing through your day, walking tall, means that losing your executive functioning and your willpower is dire. It's a dire consequence. And as I said before, and as you already know, when you're tired, it's harder to make decisions. You end up making decisions that you regret. And then you have to go back and deal with it. So I'm reading this great book by Kelly McGonigal, this woman from Stanford, and it's called The Willpower Instinct, and I'll link to it on the resources page. I interviewed her last year for the podcast also, which I'll link to. She writes, "Guilt is out, rest is in." She points out that being mildly but chronically sleep deprived makes you more susceptible to stress, cravings, and temptation. And thus we do things we aren't proud of. And she writes, "It hardly ever occurs to us that we don't need to become better people, but to become better rested. Because when we get down on ourselves for not sticking with our plans and our goals, we come to irrational conclusions that we must not be good, that we must suck in some way. But really, probably what we need is to be better rested." Okay. Handout number 5, self-care. Number 1, self-care. If rest is your issue or lack thereof, let's come up with some ways to do a little bit more. You need screen off time to be able to wind down to go to bed. If you understand about Ayurveda, a lot of computer work is very vata. It's very up. You need to get grounded. You need to come back down into your body. What time would you like to go to bed? What would be a good time for you to go to bed? And write that down under bedtime on the handout. And then counting backwards, when is screen off time? And by that, I include all things that go beep. Your phone, your whatever, anything. Now, the afternoon reset. This is about, let's see. One of the things about being chronically sleep deprived, some of the research has suggested, according to Kelly McGonigal, that it's the number of consecutive hours that you've been up. So the afternoon reset, like whatever it is for you, power nap, sitting and being quiet, shutting down a little bit and trying to find that reset button, does literally reset the clock for you. So what are hopefully two things that you can do mid-afternoon for that reset? Because after the reset, you will have regained focus and self-control power. And then the third one on here, what are some decompress routines or supportive activities? Yoga, heart math, sitting in nature. What helps you ground and come back down when you're feeling spun out? And I will be recording a short, like, in the office 5-minute yoga video. Okay, moving on to nourishment. Where do you need more support for your food situation? Do you have healthy snacks in the house? If not, put 4 to 6 things on the grocery list that always stay there. Easy protein-based snacks, nuts, yogurt, cheese, whatever it is. Keep them permanently on your grocery list. Make sure that a few of them are easy to take with you for when you're out and about, if having blood sugar issues get you. Do you tend to skip lunch? If so, what are a few simple and easy lunches that you can do? Again, I suggest high protein because the brain requires a lot of energy and protein to function. Do you wait until you're starving to eat? Do you need to set an alarm for yourself or to set a scheduled time to eat? If so, please do. Do you feel super sluggish after you eat? This could be that you're eating too much. It could mean that you're allergic to something. Do you have an energy crash in the mid-afternoon? And I mean way beyond the regular afternoon snoozy feel. Could be that you're not getting enough protein, that you're eating too many carbs. Like, look for the hot spots. What are the hot spots, and what are some things that you can do to mitigate them? Do you normally skimp on dinner because you don't think about it until 5 p.m.? If so, spending half an hour on menu planning over the weekend can help you get the week planned out, see when would make the most sense to eat out, and then you don't need to think about it at 5 o'clock, which, remember, by 5 o'clock, you're probably kind of tired, which makes decision-making even harder. And when decision-making is hard, it's actually easier to not make a decision. So when you need the food and the nourishment the most is when you don't do it. And it's a weird cycle. Okay? So look for your hot spots and figure out how to get about them, around them. And finally, the last part, exercise. So 5 minutes is better than no minutes of exercise. And this is, again, from Kelly McGonigal's book, and she bases all of her stuff on research. 5 minutes is better than none. What are 2 or 3 5-minute physical exercise things that you could sprinkle into your day? And if you have 10 minutes, double it. A walk around the block, yoga, handstands, I don't know, whatever. What do you know, and what can you do in 5 minutes? And then what is a favorite exercise that you don't do much just because you don't have time? I love biking, and I will go when I get into major work modes. I look at my bike and realize that I haven't ridden for weeks. Okay, so put that down. Not biking, whatever you love to do. What's the favorite one that you don't do much? And then finally, the third area here, exercise plus, so that when I get really busy, this is the one that I do the most. Exercise plus errands For me, this means exercise plus walk to the post office. Right now, that's a mile long walk. Exercise, you know, ride my bike to the cafe. That's, you know, basically I get my workout right there. So usually an errand plus exercise, ride your bike to somewhere. If you know you're going to be waiting for kids at soccer practice, take your running shoes and get a little jog in. Even just like I said, 5 minutes. Now, the reason that I put all of these on one page is to just highlight them for yourself. Keep it handy and just glance at it every once in a while. Am I doing my favorite exercise? Oh, yeah, I could walk to the post office. Oh, yeah, I could do the 5 minute thing. Okie dokie. This was a really important session because of how far the implications reach. It's going to facilitate the use of the systems we've already talked about and make other aspects of your life go more smoothly just because you've absorbed the stuff. They'll play out in more practical ways also as we get into the review and planning session and email piece of our next two sessions. So let's see. The next module is the review and planning session, which ties together several of the systems that we've already talked about. So the best way for you to be prepared next week is, one, keep developing your feel for what drains you and what supports you. What's a yes? What's a no? What's a magnet versus a repulsion? Just let that be an intention this week, to just feel that sensitivity. Have your to-do manager filled in. Have your list of current projects up to date, and have your schedule handy. So that is for next week. Have those three things. To populate the to-do manager, I highly recommend a mind dump. And I'm almost done with an e-course on that. I'm not done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the copy, and it's just not as pretty. I don't have pictures and stuff like that, but the information is all there. So I'm going to link to that on the resources page. So I strongly recommend doing a mind dump. That will populate your to-do manager, and it will change the way your head feels. It's crazy powerful, crazy powerful. I highly recommend you do it. And please, you know, just look at my little e-course document that I'll link to. So I'm also going to put up a recording of the Avatar guided relaxation. I'm hoping that the one we did today works, and I have a different microphone for that, so that should be good. I'll put up The Willpower Instinct by Kelly McGonigal on the resources page. And I hope to catch you all at the open office implementation session on Friday. And unless we have any other questions before we sign off, that was a doozy. You might want to listen to this one again. That was a lot of information, you guys. Good stuff, though, I tell you. This module makes me really, really excited. Okay, I'm not seeing any questions. Have a fantastic day. Big hugs to you all, and hope to see you on Friday. You are most welcome, and have a super week. Bye for now. Ugh, need to pee. Need to pee immediately.